same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That means whosoever will. And then verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the very power of the Word of God that jumps off the pages of this Bible this hour. Father, we want to thank you for the Spirit of God to take these words and apply it to the hearts of people here this day, that Jesus Christ, that the glory of the Father, Lord, will be lifted up here this day. And we'll understand maybe a better view of what Christmas means to each and every one of us, and stand on authority of the Word of God, and stand on our convictions through the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And don't let anybody tell us, Lord, that the Christmas season is just another holiday. Christmas season, it reflects back to the time that Jesus Christ was willing to leave glory, or all the glory in heaven, and come down to this dark, weary world and walk here on the dusty roads of time. And Father, we know that he went to that place that's called Calvary, Lord, and gave his life. He laid it down, a terrible, 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 terrible death that he died. Father, he gave himself, and he was the one, it's called Christ the Lord, because he died for each and every one of us here this day. And it says that they were going to be a great joy today. And we have this joy knowing that, Lord, no matter how bad that we are, knowing, Lord, that we are sinners, knowing the Bible says we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God's eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we will accept him, Lord, he will forgive us for our sins. He said he have all power in heaven and earth to forgive sin. And Father, I want you to know we understand here today as people made out of clay that we have all sinned. Not a person in this building this day do not understand they sin and they have done wrong. But, oh, Father, we want to thank you for the joy that's entered into us this hour, that we have a Savior that forgives our sins, and we need forgiveness today. And we thank you and we praise you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus for this hour, for this week, Father, to come, and what represents today, for not just for us and our family, but for the world over, our Savior, our Jesus, our Lord, our great, great Savior, and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we thank you this day. We thank you this day. Christmas, we know it points to the war, as I said, about Jesus Christ and why we're having such a war here this day. But I like for us to look at the Christmas, the provisions that was made. It says a Savior. Man's greatest need is a Savior. To think what it is today. We rush through Christmas season so fast. All the rush and the bustle of Christmas time. We rip open them presents. We have food with our family, but you see, it's gone pretty quick. And a lot of times we don't remember, don't really reflect on us what it means for us today. And the greatest thing that we might be able to do is worship Jesus, because it says the joy that comes with Jesus Christ, the great Savior, and it shall come to all people. The joy has come to me. I'd like to ask you this morning, do you have the joy of salvation in your heart? Because you see, I had three problems. I had the guilt problem. I know that I was a sinner and I could not do anything about it. I know that I had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin was my problem. I served sin because that I was a sinner and I need forgiveness. I had nothing to pay God back for. I needed a Savior. When I found out how bad a sinner I was by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, I threw myself on the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Says, I'll clean you from all sin. And that's what Jesus done for me. Not that I don't sin some today, but I tell you, my past sins have been forgiven. And Jesus Christ cleansed me of that sin. I need forgiveness and joy coming to my heart. It says, good tidings of great joy. And it says, this which has come to all people. You're sitting here this morning. Do you have the joy in your heart knowing that Jesus Christ has got the power to forgive you for everything that you've ever done, have you got the joy in your heart knowing that he has already forgiven you because you have faith in what he said he'd do if you was to ask him? That's joy. In this Christmas season, we ought to have the joy knowing what Christ has done for us, that we are sinners and we need to be forgiven, and Jesus Christ is the only one that forgive us. And you know what? He makes a place for us and a place called heaven that we ever be with him. Jesus Christ, it says, to come to all people, whosoever will. Today, you hear this day, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, the day is the day. As you just want to think about this, Jesus Christ is the man, the Savior. The greatest needs of a man today is a need, a Savior this day. God says, what's the greatest need upon the face of this earth before he sent his son? Well, if God would have thought we needed information, he would have sent us an economist, I guess, or an educator, I guess. If he thought we need technology, he would send us the sciences. If he thought that we need money, he would send us their economists. But you know what? The greatest need that God knew that mankind had to have, there's no way that you could go back and be with a Savior. There's no way that you could contact a holy God. There's no way that you can come and pray with a holy God. There's none doeth right, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There was no way that I could ever come in contact with a holy God. I had nothing to pay God back with. I was a broken sinner. I'm going to tell you, I was a bankrupt sinner. I did not have anything that God wanted. There's nothing in me that caused God to want to forgive me. It's what Jesus Christ done for me. He paid the price that I might have life and have it more abundantly and have it eternally. Why? It was not because how good that I was. It was because who Jesus Christ was. He loved me and he gave himself for me on the cross of Calvary. He come in this world, and look what he went through in this world because he loved people of the world. Before I was born, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, but yet his mind was on me. His mind was on you. Christmas time, the Christ of Christmas is this joy that I have today. It says, whosoever will. It says there in verse 11 again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ. Salvation. Christmas time is Christmas provision, what God made for us. That's what it's all about, Christmas, about provision that Jesus Christ has made for this world, not for just the people in this building, not for the people in the United States. It says for the people of all the world today. He loves everybody alike. It don't matter what color or skin or what nation people lives in today. He loves everybody. He died for the whole world. It's a Christmas around the world today. I tell you what he done for me. He justified me in the Spirit immediately. Whenever I got saved, I was saved immediately in the Spirit. My spirit was gone away from God. But this Christmas, that Christmas that came into my heart, that's when I really experienced Christmas time, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. He gave me that gift. As you think about the gift this season, whenever Jesus Christ saved you, he says the wages of sin is death. But the gift, I tell you, the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind is a gift of our Savior. It's a gift that he gave you, eternal life, and it is a gift that you give people this day. They don't have to give you nothing back. You just give them a gift. The Savior didn't expect you to give him anything back because you didn't have anything that he would accept, but he gave himself for you. The greatest gift is a gift of salvation. And whenever I said, Lord, I want you to help me and forgive me, immediately I was justified in the Spirit. But then after that, it's been several years ago since I was saved, then I started being sanctified progressively in the soul, day by day, hour by hour, week by week, from the time that I was saved till the time that I take my last breath. The Holy Spirit of God is going to work on me. That little song goes, thank you, Lord, for working on me. I'm going to tell you what, God is working on everybody in this building. We try to help and do all we can, but the greatest help and the greatest comfort is the Spirit of God. If you're saved here this day, that I guarantee you by the Word of God that the Spirit of God is going to work on you, going to work on you, going to work on you progressively every day. Progressively, your soul is being saved. Progressively, he's saving you now. Sanctifying you is a word that what it's talking about. That is gradually growing more and more like Jesus Christ. Sanctified is what that word is talking about. Every day, are you closer to Jesus? Do you look more like him? Do you understand more? Do you have more joy than you ever had before because of what Christ Jesus has done in your heart when you first got saved and gave you that gift? And now he says, you know, he's sanctifying you progressively really in that soul. And then one of these days, we know, I know for sure utterly that I will be glorified in the body. One of these days, he's going to come back for my old body. Our soul and spirit's going to go on and be with the Lord if I'm not living at the rapture time. But then one of these days, out of that grave, utterly that I'm going to be glorified and I'll be like Jesus Christ. Soul is going to be saved also. God sent a Savior. God sent a Savior 2,000 years ago. This is the Christmas season. This is something to talk about. This is something we need to hear over and over, that God sent a Savior, and His name was Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you some questions now as you're talking about Jesus Christ. It says there in that verse 11, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Do you believe in His Lordship this morning? And I'm talking to the ones I believe is saved here today. Do you believe in His Lordship? I believe you'd have to say, yes, He is Lord. Is He really Lord? Answer that question. And then you ask yourself another question. Have you crowned Him Lord? Have you acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life? Is He Lord over all that you are? Is He Lord over everything that you have? Is He Lord over everything that you do or everything that you think today? Ray sings that song, there's a room in my heart, all but just one room. But I'm going to tell you, God is not satisfied having all the rooms in your heart but one. He wants every room of your heart. Lordship, He means He have all the room in your heart. There's only room for Jesus Christ and no one else in your heart this day. That's the way Jesus Christ is called, the Lordship of each and every one of us here today. Lord is the Lord of my tongue, the Lord of my thoughts, the Lord of my time, the Lord of my temper, and the Lord of my treasures. Oh, in the days of Roman Empire, we know there was death to say no to Caesar, that he's not Lord. But when you say yes to Jesus Christ, that was immediately death for most people at that time. But God is a God of every gods. He's a God of every God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Remember what that verse of Scripture said? God has made that same Jesus who you have crucified, both Lord and God. You do not make Jesus Christ Lord. He is Lord. You can't make Jesus Christ anything. He is Lord. Many, many times people say, well, I got saved and 10 years later I made Him Lord of my life. No, you didn't make Him Lord of your life. If you were saved, He was already Lord of life. You just acknowledged it maybe 10 years later that He was a Lord over everything, but you can't make Him. God beat you to it. He made Jesus Christ the Lord over everything. The Lord Christ Jesus today. Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. We need to come get back maybe to some old time thinking about our testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Christ and, it's Christ only. Jesus Christ. Have you really crowned Him Lord? Have you publicly professed that Jesus Christ is Lord? If you do, it will cost you. And we was talking about love Wednesday night, how love cost. Love does cost. At Christmas time, love cost. It cost Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave. It cost Him. It cost Him. Have you gave Him everything of your heart? Have you gave Him everything? Is He really the Lord of your life? Have you acknowledged Him that He's the Lord of life? He will not accept it any other way. Do you acknowledge that this hour? I was reading about a young lawyer who went into law school, and out of law school he had a good practice. But then he was drafted into the military at that time, had an officer going, and so well, he said he had to go, so he had a what you'd want to call a sales day. He had everything in his office, all of his furniture and everything. He had a label up, you know, it had to be gone, had to be sold, his furniture. And then it says, everything must go, including myself. You know what? That's exactly what God says for all the gods in our life. Everything must go, including you. God is the one that's Lord over your life. Thank you, Lord, for loving me through all those misery and pain. Thank you, Lord, that you left glory and you come down and paid the price of mankind, including me, for your blood you shed on Calvary's cross. Lord, I give you all that I have, and that's myself, because that's all that I do have. And then one day I'll see you in glory face to face. crown the Christ of Christmas time, Lord. Are you really glad that you have done this? Verse 10 again says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Christmas time is a message to the world, to all people. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. Not for us to huddle up in a church and huddle up in our own family. It's a message. It's a message. We have the Lottie Moon for this whole month we're taking up. And there's a many a people around this world that's spreading the gospel message through our missionaries. We need to be a part of that. And God may not have called you to go, may not have called me to go, but He has called us to help the missionaries of the world this day. Richie Allen, I've been talking with him. He's going to Africa not long, in a few months or so. He's going to go to Africa, but he's towing around the world. I can't go with him, but I can help him go. I make provisions for him to go. So this is the Christmas message. It goes around the world, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But something else, you know what the Lordship does of Jesus Christ at Christmas time? It separates crowds. Now, there a lot of people be around the manger scene, and they're all nice little old babies born, and they'll be nice and all, but you see that same crowd will be the one that gets drunk on maybe Christmas night. That same crowd will be the one that won't even think about worshiping Jesus Christ on his birthday on Sunday. That same crowd won't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Oh, they'll open up those presents there in their home, but you see, they'll never have a thought of worshiping Jesus Christ. It will never enter into their mind about worshiping Jesus Christ on a day of his birthday. I'm going to tell you, it's his birthday and it's not our birthday. The presents all belong to Jesus Christ. They don't really belong to us. They belong to Jesus Christ. We need to worship him. As we gather around that manger and we gather around that little baby, we just need to think about what Christ has done for us. The Christmas Lord that we really profess this day. Really, we profess today, there are five things, if you will, profess this, how Jesus Christ is Lord. And you see my five things on the board, and I got just about 2 seconds to go through all five of them, so you're going to have to listen fast. You're going to have to listen fast. But I tell you, if you'll take these things down, profess Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, open and publicly, I'm going to tell you what it is, it's going to change your life. It's going to change the people around you. It's going to give you more strength. It'll silence old Satan himself. And I'm going to tell you what, people can be saved, and it'll simplify every service we have for Jesus Christ. Seals your salvation. If you will openly and publicly profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, I'm going to tell you what, you will have a great day in the Lord when you start doing that. You know, people that do not confess Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's hard to convince people that they're saved. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To salvation. Are you really saved today? There's a lot of people going to say, Lord, Lord, I walk down the aisles of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I walk down the aisles of some other church. I put my membership there for 10 years. And then Jesus is going to say to a lot of people, and I don't know who they are because it's not my business to judge them, I never knew you. I never knew you. You say you was a member, you didn't ever come. You say you was a member, you didn't care a thing in the world about the things of God, the people of God, or the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if you love Jesus Christ, you love what Jesus Christ loved. I'm going to tell you, you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, it will seal your salvation. Oh, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers, more preachers quoted him probably than any other preacher that's ever lived. He says, a convert will tell you that he knows the will of God and do not intend to do that. He said, it's your business by the Word of God to tell that person they're lost. If they know the will of God, they don't intend to do the will of God, and they know the will of God, and they say they're saved, he says, you take the Bible and show them by the Bible that they are lost. You see, if you know somebody, love somebody, you want to be with somebody. We can't have a come-in Savior and a stay-out Lord. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 11 again, for unto us this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. You see, 24 times in the New Testament we find Saviors mentioned. You know how many times Lord mentioned? 433 times. It's serious, or God would not put it in His holy word of God. But I don't want to tell you one thing, it'll seal your salvation, but it'll silence Satan himself. Because Satan cannot stand. He cannot stand for the lordship of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12 and 11 says, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their own lives unto death." Satan is terrified by testimonies about Jesus Christ. Satan is conquered by confession. You know, I just need to tell you this morning that, you know, Jesus Christ saved my soul. He's the Lord of glory, and I thank you. I thank God's people that they're not ashamed of the word of God. You know, sometimes I think we can't do this in larger churches. Sometimes I think we ought to have just an old testimony service. You ever been in one? Just people stand up and tell what Jesus Christ has done to them. I was just an old sinner, and I thank God for saving my soul. It don't take much for a few words, but I tell you what it'll do. It'll silence old Satan when you begin to do that. Are you saved or you're ashamed of Jesus Christ? You know, and it'll just strengthen the saints. It'll save sinners, and it'll simplify the service. Because sometimes we don't even know what a service is all about. But I tell you, you start glorifying Jesus Christ, and he was center of stage, and he's the Lord of all. It'll take care of all the other things we do a lot of times in our churches. The world needs to know about this Christmas season because, you see, he is the man of the time. Thank you, God. I just want to tell you about the missionary a little bit, David Livingston. I know I've told you before, one of the greatest missionaries probably that's ever lived besides old Paul himself, but David Livingston was a missionary to Africa, and I cut it as short as I can. But David Livingston, he left to go over to Africa, where a white man has never been before, a missionary has never been before. He stayed there for many weeks and months, and they didn't even know his family, and they didn't even know whether he was alive or not, but there's a man named H.M. Stanley. Said, "I'll go find this man." He was a newspaper man, and "I'll go find this man." So he went over there and looked for him in the dark parts of Africa, and by the providence of God, they met each other out there in the boondocks, I would call it, of Africa. And old Stanley told old David, he said, "You know what, David?" He says, you're a great man now. You sent back records and all." And he said, "We have sold these records. We have sold your books. And you are a very wealthy man." He says, "You need to come on home now because you can live wealthy." David said, "I'll pray about it." He prayed about it. Said, "God said he wants me to stay right here." So long story of David's life. You never read it. You need to read it because he died in Africa. He never went back. He died in Africa. And England sent for his body. Before they could get his body, the natives, the Africans, they took and cut his heart out. And they buried it in Africa. And they said his body belongs to England, but his heart belongs to Africa. But you see, on the day like the day, they had it wrong also. Because his heart didn't belong to Africa, his heart belonged to Jesus Christ. If you have a heart this day that God has given you, if he took out that old stony heart, and he put you a soft heart in of the love of God, I tell you, your heart belongs to Jesus Christ. If it belongs to Jesus Christ, you won't have to worry about all these five things I got here because they'll automatically fall in order. I thank you this morning. I hope everybody has a good Christmas. Thank you here as Brother Orville come with a song or invitation. Oh, I didn't never do get through with my sermon. One of these days, I might finish these up in heaven. I don't know. But I want to tell you, I want to thank you this day. I want to thank you this day so much for this people of this church that has the dedication to come and to worship and loves the things of God and loves the people of God and loves the word of God, and they love Jesus Christ, or you wouldn't be here this morning. If we could just catch fire and catch on, for others would come and understand. Go to your family, your home, your loved ones, and your friends, and give them that word of encouragement they need, because this world, they will not get encouragement from this world. It will have to come from Christian people if they ever get a word of encouragement. They need to come where they can hear. What's the purpose of coming to church? It's to worship our Lord. He's worthy of worship. Because if you don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, you will be worldly, and this world don't have no friends. I'm telling you, you need to understand who you're serving this day as we stand and sing the invitation song.